the gospel acclamation. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 7th chapter. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went with him. As he approached the gate of the town, a man who had died was being carried out. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow. And with her was a large crowd from the town. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came forward and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, rise." The dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized all of them, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has looked favorably on his people." This word about him spread throughout Judea and all the surrounding country. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I don't believe much in coincidence anymore. So I think that as we try to put all three lessons that you heard read together, they might actually serve a purpose. Now, it's easy to connect the first reading and the gospel reading because we see a similar situation and a similar act performed. But how does this reading from Paul's letter to the church in Galatia connect with those other two readings? What runs through all three readings is the power of the Word of God to change human life. And as that word is spoken through the prophet, through Jesus, and as it comes to Paul in the person of Christ, their lives are changed. That the Word of God is a living, dynamic power that changes human life. But how do we connect this change in Paul to the other two accounts that involve the death of young men? For Paul, he was an upholder of the law, righteous in every way, persecutor of Christians. A man who, in order to be righteous, also ran the risk of being self-righteous. And when we compare the death of those two young men with a person who is self-righteous, we can perhaps make the claim that self-righteousness is just as destructive spiritually as death itself. That self-righteousness can do damage to the spiritual life of a person. Reinhold Niebuhr says that we in our age continue to struggle with that self-righteousness, that Christians, the righteous, must always be on their guard lest their righteousness become self-righteousness. And it is the power of the Word of God, the living, dynamic Word of God, that can change the human heart, even hearts that are self-righteous. What I want to do today is to take a look at how this living, dynamic Word of God, when it comes against our self-righteousness, can help us get a better grasp on what we are facing through this natural calamity in the Gulf of Mexico. In this living, dynamic Word of God, we're going to look at three pieces. It reminds us that no major issue in our lives has an easy and clear-cut answer to it. Second, it challenges us to become aware of the limits of the body politic, that the political powers cannot solve all problems. And third, it challenges our own ways of thinking to see what we can do to make a difference. This living, dynamic Word of God that changes human hearts reminds us first that some of the major issues of life don't have easy solutions. Unfortunately, in a culture that is defined by polarities, being at one end or the other, we have a difficult time taking the scriptural account of creation and using it in a way that's helpful. Either it has to be about creation or it has to be about evolution. But if you can put those extremes aside, as you read through the creation story, you will discover that the creation story does include some wonderful and insightful observations about how our natural order is functioning. In that creation story, we hear how God separated. God separated the waters from the waters. Some of the waters he put above a dome in the sky that at time brings rain to the earth. Other waters are the waters of the earth, surrounding then the waters on which the continents sit. And God separated the land from the waters. God separated the night from the day, that there is built into this magnificent natural order natural and necessary divisions. So that between the crude, which is under the earth, and the seas and all of its creatures, there is a division that keeps the crude from going into the waters and creating this sense of destruction. It is part of the natural order. When we throw humanity into that natural order, we then have people who rupture that division between the oil and the water. We do it because we have a collective need for that oil. That it is an integral part of how we function day in and day out. And our corporations, BP and all of the others, exist to fulfill that collective need of ours. So every time I swipe my credit card at Costco to get the cheapest gas that I can get, whatever station you use, you are entering into an agreement with those corporations to supply a collective need. So the solution, as we face this problem, is not an easy solution. It's not as easy as what Governor Schwarzenegger of California is saying. We're just not going to drill off of our coast. It's more complex the way Governor Jindal is saying that we're going to continue to drill because our livelihood, our day-to-day existence, unfortunately, is connected with it. When we have a complex issue like this, then, it requires of us to engage in intelligent conversation. An intelligent conversation does not happen if we function at polarities. But notice how we go at issues. We go at it from the liberal perspective, or we go at it from the conservative perspective. The tact that the conservatives take is this: accuse and challenge people's characters. You're not patriotic enough. You're not Christian if you think or believe that. They're masters at the self-righteous harumph. You ever heard that? Someone says something. Shuts down conversation immediately. Now, those on the liberal side are just as effective. And this is partly what I hear people say: I'm displeased, or I didn't care for, or I didn't like something you said. So notice what happens. I'm no longer engaged in the conversation to talk about the problem. I have to shift what I do in order to try to make the person like me again. It's also this liberal way of being is masterful at the isms. So if I challenge a female on something that is wrong, I'm a chauvinist. If I challenge someone of another race, I'm a racist. If I challenge someone who's older than me, I'm an ageist or a classist. And as soon as I'm labeled, anything I say after that can be disqualified. These polarities shut down intelligent conversation. How about saying, "I disagree, and this is why, and now we can talk." Now, lest you think that I'm patronizing at this point, I'm not saying that you're not intelligent and you're not having intelligent conversation. What I'm saying is you all deserve better. You all deserve better than this other stuff out there. The living, dynamic Word of God, as it works in us, reminds us that many pieces of the issue are not easily resolved. And as much as we would love a clear-cut right answer and a clear-cut wrong answer, there are sometimes we take two options, neither one of them is desirable, and choose the one that is more attractive. The living, dynamic Word of God also calls us to be attentive to the reality that the body politic cannot solve all of the problems. However, I believe they can do a heck of a lot better than they're doing right now. So my challenge is that we challenge those that we elect to have a long-term memory. a long-term memory that extends into the future and that goes far back in the past. Extends into the future, so whenever the interest in this calamity starts to wane as things start to clear up, and it will, we keep focused and remember what's going to happen to the people whose lives are directly impacted by what happens, to not forget them. But also a long-term memory that goes into the past to say, it is entirely possible that what has happened in the Gulf of Mexico is a result in part of decisions made by our government. And what we have endorsed, and what we have encouraged, and even what we have left slide through. A long-term memory. I think we are also called, as we reflect upon our elected officials, to understand that there is a difference between the executive branch of our government and the legislative branch of our government. And that the executive branch exists for the enforcement of the law of the land. And to step up to the plate and enforce those laws. But the policy section of our government is rooted in the legislative branch. So that there is a gathering of people who can get together and examine what is happening and start looking at long-term implications. To start being aware of what is going to happen 6 months, 12 months, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years down the road, and to start to pull together the resources to anticipate where this is taking us. It is not the primary function of the president to establish policy in our nation. It is the purpose of Congress. And as you vote, if you are frustrated with this divisiveness that exists, then I have to wonder about what I read in the Lancaster paper this week. Why is it then that the politicians who have taken the risk to work with the other side are the ones that are getting voted out of office? Living, dynamic Word of God challenges us how we look at the function of the body politic. And finally, it challenges us as we reflect upon our own self-righteousness. What is it in ourselves that is an obstacle for us to do what is right and necessary? What is important for us? First of all, for us to have the information we need to have intelligent conversation. So I think, first of all, we need to learn how to read. Now you'll say, well, most of us here know how to read. I question that sometimes because we will advertise something in our newsletter. We will put it in the bulletin, and you'll come up to me and say, Pastor, I never knew about that. So we're going to offer remedial reading classes in this congregation. Learn how to read, because the sound bites on television are not going to give you what you need. Challenge the local media. Get online or on the phone or a letter to WGAL and say to them, we want more significant coverage of the issue. When they take part of their newscast and spend it on whether Al Gore is getting divorced or not, it's not helpful to me. And if you look at that half an hour segment, it needs to track the weather, you subtract the sports, you subtract the commercials, and you subtract the teases, you get less than 10 minutes worth of news. And then two of that is spent on Al Gore's divorce. And as you say, "This is what I believe," be willing to follow your beliefs all the way through to their logical conclusion. And so if you say, "I believe that it is important for us to be concerned about the livelihood of the people along the Gulf Coast," then when you're making your vacation plans this summer and this fall, plan on vacationing in the South. One of our members is doing just that. And as you look at where to purchase those things that you think you need every day, see if any of them are produced along the Gulf Coast and support those businesses. Right after 9/11, a gas station around the corner from where I served was owned by a Muslim man. People stopped going there for gas. He was at the risk of losing his business. And the churches got together, and in every church we said, "Start buying your gas from this man." And he came back to us about 6 months later and he said, "You know, because of members of your church, my business stayed open." There is a personal way to invest. The living, dynamic Word of God changes our hearts so that we begin to grasp the capacity to do such a thing. The greatest obstacle to that is that we live in a time where we need to have someone else be wrong. And to lay the blame at someone else's doorstep so that I don't have to change. I know it happens in the regular world because it happens here in this church. "Pastor, I'm not going to do that because the church isn't doing this. Pastor, I'm not going to be invested in the ministry of the church because of something you are doing or aren't doing. Pastor, I'm not going to invest in the ministry because I don't agree with what the vestry is doing." Finding someone else to be wrong so that we don't have to take it personally and to change. But the work of the Holy Spirit starts on a personal and individual level. And it can be at work in your hearts and in your lives. You will find that when that happens, there is a living and dynamic power that is changing you each and every moment. Amen.